Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Participating Wendy's for a limited time. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
Coming up on the Gym Class, where do you start today? A J-Bo, Trey-Bo buzzer beater for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Kareem Hunt may be back in the National Football League. We had football over the weekend and a milestone today. It's all coming up as we talk about it on the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. It is a Gym Class for a Monday, a snowy, potentially snowy Monday anyway. I think it's beyond potential. I think it's on its way if it's not snowing in your neck of the woods yet. Welcome in, Scott Unash, alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Kyle Mann, our producer, here today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on the Gym Class on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, 107.5 FM. The North Gym at Cedar Rapids, and in Iowa City, 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Yes, if it's not snowing, it sounds like it's imminent. Please use caution. You've heard this before. We've had snow before in those last 3 weeks. Sounds like it could be a pretty significant storm. So give yourself a little extra time. Give yourself a little extra room between you and your friendly neighbor around eastern Iowa on the highways and byways, and we will get through this thing A-OK. Hopefully most of the snow will come overnight and will not get in the way of too many things. Although we can say, and let me know if you've heard this before, many postponements tonight. Boys tournament basketball start slated to get underway tonight in 2A and 1A with some first round games. Consult either the Iowa High School Athletic Association website or go to your school's website or just check it out to see if your game is on, moved, postponed to tomorrow, whatever the case may be. And then you got girls action coming up tomorrow, which might be impacted a little bit. Regular season makeups tonight in the Mississippi Valley Conference all wiped out, including a big City High Cedar Falls girls game that they're going to try to get in sometime. I don't know when that's going to happen. I feel bad for the ADs out there. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon.
Did I get it all covered weather-wise?
I think you did.
Okay, very good.
We're going to have a poll question for you a little later on and talk a variety of subjects, including basketball, football, a little golf.
A little golf.
Yeah.
Got to talk a little bit of golf. But we got to start things off with yesterday in Iowa City as the Hawkeyes came from 15 down with 4.5 minutes to play, 12 down with 3 minutes to play, just over 3 minutes to play, came back and beat the Northwestern Wildcats on a Jordan Bohannon. Sorry, Jason, how you doing out there? Mm-hmm. A Jordan Bohannon off-balance three-pointer with 0.6 seconds remaining as Iowa came from behind to beat Northwestern 80-79. And what a shot it was, what a comeback it was, and man alive, Iowa has not had a basketball win like that in quite a while, to win one at the buzzer like that.
No, probably the big comeback at Illinois would be comparable, but this is certainly one of the better comebacks in Iowa history, if not recent history, and it was a comeback against a bottom feeder in the Big Ten.
Who was playing well that day, though?
Playing well, shooting it well. Vic Law was very good.
He was very good.
Taylor and Turner were very good. One of the better games Northwestern has played, but still a bottom feeder in the Big Ten. And Iowa, to be at home struggling as mightily as it did, that was very troubling. And down 15 with 4.5 minutes left, folks started heading for the exits.
Nothing new in Carver Hawkeye, but a little bit more volume this time.
Give Iowa credit. Fran McCaffrey making adjustments on the three-quarter court press, trying to a little more aggressive.
Which was effective.
And Northwestern cooperated with not only turnovers but missed free throws, giving Iowa an opportunity at the end there. And you know, I'm curious what you think, too, Scott, with 3 seconds left. The officials go to the replay. and try to make sure the clock's right.
Correct. It was a kickball.
Both
ball.
Players go to the benches and huddle up. That gave Fran McCaffrey an opportunity to draw up what I thought was a very good play. Had a couple options out of it. Bohannon screening for Cook. Cook wasn't necessarily open. McCaffrey gets it to Bohannon, and the rest is history. So, you know, it's debatable whether players should be able to go to the benches during a replay, but it is what it is, right? It happens in football as well. So, but that allowed Fran McCaffrey to drop a pretty nice play.
Yeah, he did. First option was to have the a little high pick and roll.
I was down two.
Right, and have a – and he was looking for overtime, I think, as the first option, and that's what Fran said after the game. If you'd like to comment, by the way, Hertina Stocker Jeweler text line is open at 319-366-1600. Hertina Stocker Jewelers, they are located on the Penn Mall in Iowa City. And by the way, we are presented, as always, by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, locally owned and operated. Stop on by. Tell them Scott, Mark, Kyle, everybody at KGYM sent you. Trying to go to overtime because the first option was the lob to Tyler Cook. That wasn't open. Connor McCaffrey, the inbounds passer, saw then that Jordan Bohannon was open. You get it to the hot guy if your first option is not there. And Jordan Bohannon, by the way, will join Todd and Alex coming up later on their program between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock tonight. He said it was in the whole way. And then from our vantage point at Carver Hawkeye Arena, I would have to agree with him. It looked like it was in the whole way.
You've covered him enough. You know he's a terrific clutch shooter, but he was invisible for 36 minutes of that game. And then all of a sudden caught fire.
Yeah.
I mean, that was crazy.
He did. Joe Wieskamp hit a big three. Big.
And I thought Moss's drive to the bucket for two was really good
as
well.
Did you like that? Because we were debating that, if that was the right play to make at the time. It was a very short debate because
things happened.
Things happened quickly, but we were thinking, well, should Iowa go for a three? Should they drive it to the hole? He chose to drive it to the hole, give Iowa an opportunity to set up and try to get a steal or or what have you. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't get a steal, have Northwestern miss a free throw, which they obliged Iowa in doing at that point.
You were at the game.
I was. I stayed. How many people out there? Show of hands, Eastern Iowa. How many people stayed for that game? Also, how many people claimed to have stayed for the end of the game and you didn't, and you know who you are?
4.5 minutes left, and Iowa down big, 13 points, I think. Was it a mass? How would you describe it? A mass exodus?
It was more than usual. More than usual. And you know this as well as I do, Mark. Ever since January 5th, 1983.
When Carver opened.
To basketball. The first event was a wrestling meet.
Mm-hmm.
First basketball game against Michigan State, Iowa lost. And it kind of set the precedent that day. It doesn't matter what the score is. It doesn't matter who Iowa's playing. At the four-minute mark, you're going to see a lot of people trudge their way up Carver Hawkeye Arena stairs. It's always been that way. I don't know what – it's not going to change, I don't think. I think I've learned to accept it. Other people have learned to accept it. Sometimes people stay at the top and, you know, on the railings, lean over until the game is done or it's at least in the bag. But that wasn't the case yesterday. I think most people that went up the stairs took off for the cars and kind of had the Dodger Stadium experience with Kirk Gibson's home run a few years back with the taillights kind of went on. Oh, boy. 319-366-1600.
Poll question at KGYMradio.com brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Do fans deserve criticism for leaving games early? Two choices, yes. They negatively affect the morale and atmosphere. Or no, they paid their money. They can do what they want. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, where you'll never leave early. First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Yeah, please weigh in on the text line or our phone line.
And I don't want to lose this in the fact that Iowa, the more important story yesterday was Iowa's victory.
Not in some people's minds.
Well, true, but it's the more important story And if Iowa loses that game yesterday, does that get Iowa, set them off into a tailspin? They've got a week to think about it before they head to Rutgers. Instead, they're on a high, you know, firmly entrenched in the top half of the Big Ten right now, and things look awful rosy.
Well, it would have been a very discouraging and maybe not catastrophic, but really a discouraging loss to a team like Northwestern. But as Mike DeCourcy said on the Big Ten Network last night, good teams find a way to win these games, and it hasn't happened to Iowa very often. Here's the way I feel about fans leaving early. Near as I can tell, there's no disclaimer on the back of the ticket that says you have to stay till the end. Am I correct about that?
I have not found one yet.
Okay. All right. So anybody purchasing a ticket can do whatever they damn well please, in my mind. Is it a good look? No. It doesn't only happen at Iowa. It doesn't only happen at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. It is the fans' prerogative. When the parking situation at Carver is lousy. Some fans want to get going. It's 7 o'clock. They haven't
a lot eaten, of them are older fans.
Haven't eaten dinner yet.
A lot of them are older fans, and that was a lousy time to have a basketball game, 5:30 on a Sunday.
And what is Tyler Cook doing commenting on the crowd leaving? Shouldn't he be more focused on finishing at the rim and making more free throws and defending Derek Pardon rather than noticing fans leaving early? Is that going to impact the last 4.5 minutes of your game? It's easy for him to say now, chuckling in the post-game news conference, yeah, you can throw that in your story. Yeah, go ahead. After Iowa won the basketball game. But if I'm answering this poll question, it's the fans' money. You've all been to games. You've all been to movies. Have you ever left a movie early?
One. One in my life.
Iowa fans leave football games when it's 49-0 in the home non-conference opener in the third quarter.
That's true.
On a beautiful September day.
That's true. 319-366-1600. What do you think out there? Text line available. Phone lines available as well. In fact, we're going to go to North Liberty and bring in Derek on this Monday. Derek, driving carefully. How you doing today?
Pretty good. So I want to comment about the fans leaving. You know, I agree with Mark. It's the fans bought the tickets. They can leave early if they want. I've got season tickets for 14 years now. I've left early a couple times. You know, it's usually a late night game when I have to get the kids home and bed for school the next day. But, you know, I'm just getting really frustrated with Twitter just going crazy. All these people that sit at home and watch the game on TV and criticize the crowds.
Yeah.
If you want to criticize the crowds, get out there and be part of it.
Good point, Derek.
So that's just my complaint. You know, just the super fans sitting at home complaining about the crowds. You know, come out there and help us get loud.
All right, Derek. Hey, appreciate the call. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Text line lighting up. Bob and Amanda, you want to talk about a mass exodus? Check out everyone rushing for a bathroom break at a Rolling Stones concert when it's Keith's turn to sing his two songs.
Thank you.
9267.
Perhaps we should shut down the text line now.
9267. It's their hot body. They can do what they want.
Like, yeah. Go ahead.
Darren, the only thing that happens when you leave the game early is you might miss a really good ending. I was at the Iowa game a few years ago when they were down 24-0 to Indiana, and everybody left at halftime. Missed a heck of a good second half.
And like I said, this has happened in Carver-Hawkeye Arena for 36 years. And I don't think anything that's going to be said, written, or debated is going to change this. It's just kind of the culture that has been there. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying it is the culture that has been there since January 5th, 1983.
Beyond
Steve
that,
Carfino.
Maybe it's my age, but does it affect my life?
No.
God, no. And people can do whatever they want. It doesn't affect my life.
Maybe it made Iowa a little madder.
46-23, I left yesterday, and I also left and missed Tate to Holloway. It hurts.
But you admitted it, though, so thank you for that, because I guarantee you there are people today at their various places of work saying, what a great comeback that was, and they were there.
21-34, the play itself wasn't the same, but the shot going to the right was exactly the same as the Indiana play at the end of that game. Ryan from Walford, one thing that wasn't troubling for 37 minutes was the effort. They did get caught flat-footed on a few fast breaks, but they got a lot of 50-50 balls. It's clear we cannot play man-to-man. The effort did not lack all night. The shots finally just started falling. A day I'll remember as a fan the rest of my life.
Yeah, and you got to give Northwestern a lot of credit. And Chris Collins, you saw it. I saw it afterwards on the BTN, his news conference.
Classy.
Very classy guy. You know, he could have thrown chairs and done whatever he wanted to do, but didn't. Gave Iowa a lot of credit. Northwestern really played a good basketball game for 35 minutes of that one. I mean, they got after it. They got in Iowa's uniform as far as defense was concerned. Even those shots at the end, the three-point shots when Iowa was making their comeback, they were heavily contested.
Still, how many bunnies did Iowa miss? I mean,
well, including one by Jordan.
Point-blank shots.
Yeah. They're at about midway through the second half, and Iowa just looked for some reason or another that they were just kind of stuck in mud. It was just one of those days yesterday. And it was just kind of one of those weekends, because you'd think back 24 hours prior to that, Iowa State looked the same way. But Iowa State was playing a little tougher competition in TCU. Nothing against the Cats, nothing against Chris Collins and Northwestern, but TCU is a little step higher than Northwestern is this year. Iowa State couldn't make that comeback. And that hurt the Cyclones in a big, big way in their quest to try to win the Big 12 regular season championship.
Back to the text line, 8025. Yes, it's the fans' decision, but they can take criticism for leaving early. When I spend the money for any sporting event, I stay to the end. 87-21 for 36 minutes. It was a poor product. I would have left as well. And a second text from Ryan from Walford, right up your alley, Scott. Who cares who left and how many people left? Iowa won. I don't care if there was six people left at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Me personally, I would not leave. I learned my lesson after the Lindmar Kennedy substate game in Prairie when Marcus Page scored like 8 in 40 seconds.
Yes, he did.
And you called that game.
Yeah, that was one of the most miraculous games still I have ever seen and called to this date. 319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in on the text line, we got people weighing in as well. On the phone lines coming up, we're going to talk to Mike Colas. He was there covering it for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Get his take on it coming up in just a little bit. Mentioned Iowa State with the tough loss that they had on Saturday against TCU. K-State now with two games clear of everybody in the Big 12. And, oh, by the way, who does Iowa State have next Saturday?
Kansas State.
Kansas State. Down in Manhattan. 319-366-1600. And let's bring in Eugene on line one from Cedar Rapids to talk about Iowa and the crowd. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, guys. You know, Carver, Mark, you hit us on the head last week when you talked about a reactionary crowd. You know, it was kind of funny. Last night, all of a sudden, game gets close. The place starts to get louder, and maybe it is just the atmosphere down there. The fans are farther away from the court. Maybe they don't feel as much of the game. I always thought they ought to ring the students and slide the older people up a little closer to the bathrooms and make a little bit of noise in there. But it just seems to be that every year around this time we have this discussion about leaving early, atmosphere. And maybe it's just the way the place is designed and the way that things just shake out. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, fellas.
All right. Thanks, Eugene. Yeah, and I think Eugene got some very good points right there. It's always been that way. Listen, it's been talked about since Carver opened. Do you ring the students around the bottom? Well, it's been 36 years. It hasn't happened yet. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. The students are going to be on that one end behind the visitor's basket. That's where they're going to remain. I don't see it changing. And a lot of more older big donors are going to be where they are, and they like to get a head start.
Ideally, I'd like to see the students on the floor. I always thought the media area was in an odd place. I don't know where you put it, but it's prime seating.
It's very good seating.
I always thought that was in an odd place.
Well, that was kind of the way it was back when Carver was designed and built.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places that were built in the early 80s, late 70s have the media around the country, and those in that place. So it is a little strange. Hasn't changed. I thought it might when the redo was done a couple years ago. Let's bring in Joel from Muscatine before we head to a break. The home of Joe Wieskamp. How you doing, Joel?
Yeah, and the home of Roy Carver, who is the horrible arena that everyone thinks is after as well.
Yes.
So I'm one of those people who I'm a fanatic in the sense that if I go to a game, I'm there and I'm obnoxious, I'm loud, I stand the whole game. Football, basketball.
Oh, let's not get into standing the whole game at Carver, Joel.
Right. That's a whole different can of worms. I get it. But I think it's frustrating to see people leave. And I think what it is, though, is we're never going to solve this. If any of the three of us could solve it, we wouldn't do games, high school games on the radio on Friday night. We'd be getting paid a lot more than what we all are making. But what it is the Tyler Cook thing. This generation of athlete, right, wrong, or indifferent, the athlete that's being recruited to play college sports has a higher sensitivity to things like this than maybe they did in the 80s and 90s. Twitter, social media, social networking, whatever you want to call it, has created a more aware, self-aware, and sensitive student athlete and just younger person. And so it becomes a challenge as a coaching staff in Fran. And, you know, that group is, how do we keep these guys from getting bummed out by it? And how do we keep it a positive environment to bring kids like a Xavier Foster from Oskaloosa, make it an attractive place to play when just 3 hours west in Ames is a tremendous home court? It's a tremendous environment in Ames. And it's a frustrating thing because if you look at it strictly on the merits of a Snapchat or a 5-second a snapshot of it, you show a shot of Hilton Magic to a shot of knit sweater vests and $50 donors behind the bench, it's a big difference. And I love those people. Those are great people who have kept this university going forward. Some of those people are my parents' friends. You know, they're great folks. But how do you balance it out for the recruiting? And the fact that Tyler Cook is noticing it means that the folks like a Xavier Foster are noticing it too. And maybe we never get that type of athlete. I don't know. The Joe Wieskamps of the world don't care. They just don't. But the DJ Cartons of the world, they do. So it becomes one of those things where how do you make the environment good that you keep a coach happy and good that you keep recruits happy, and also you just do it in a way that the big-dollar donors are still getting the bang for their buck too. I think the answer, and it's never going to happen, but I think the answer is you build a new arena someplace town. And I know that you laugh, Scott, but there may be a time where it's time for somebody to pony up and do what they did in Lincoln, Nebraska, because they had a similar on-campus arena experience, and then they doled out the dollars and it generated revenue for the city of Lincoln, too. Which it's a great parallel.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a matter of how do you figure out a way to do it. And I think it is not going to happen in the next 10 years, but I think that when it does happen, because it will, it's going to be 10 years, 15 years too late. That's just my opinion.
Well, good stuff right there, Joel. Very good stuff out there. Appreciate the call. 327 here on the program. And, yeah, let's not get into standing up. That is where I do draw the line, because that's ridiculous. You get yelled at for standing up because you can't see anyway. Well, and the momentum is going,
In fact, on the text, 9578, moving the students would be great, but the biggest issue is all the old money who groan every time someone stands up to cheer.
It is true.
You're not at a movie. I mean, the arena is a big thing. I remember interviewing Glenn Stick Vidnovic for a reminiscent story on the Miller six-pack. And he came out of Pennsylvania, And Lanny Van Am and Lute Olson's assistant went out and recruited him and brought him in. And Glenn remembers going into the old field house and commenting to Lanny, "You play in this dump?" And then once Glenn played there and saw and felt the atmosphere, it was a totally different thing. Now, you're not going to go back to an Iowa field house situation, but it is what the players and the fans make it. That was a raucous, can I call it an arena? The field house.
Oh, it was not an arena. I think it would be a disservice to call it an arena. But it was a great place to watch a basketball game. Loud. Nobody yelled at you for standing up in that. All right, 329. More to get to on the program today. We're going to talk to Mike Colas some more about the basketball game. Iowa won 80-79 over Northwestern, and we don't want to bury that lead too far. All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more after this.
When she says,
"Thanks, Valentine,"
she really means, "You didn't get it right, but I'm being nice." Well, this year, get a
"You're the best Valentine"
with Sweetopia Handmade Chocolates. These hand-painted artisan chocolates are almost as beautiful as her, and she'll think they're amazing. Come in and choose a ready-to-go box or customize your favorites at Sweetopia.
Best Valentine ever.
Sweetopia, Lindale Mall in the food court.
The most special gifts for her this Valentine's Day will be found at Siegel's Jewelry. Gifts like heart-shaped sterling and gold jewelry, 50% off. 24-karat gold overlay roses in most colors, normally $79, now just $39. For the perfect Valentine's Day gift, it's Siegel's Jewelry. One half block south of the Town & Country Shopping Center, or go online at diamonds4ever.com.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Car category names like sports car or subcompact sound so one-dimensional, and great cars just aren't, like the restyled Honda Civic. So I named a new category, SPAFLU. That's SP for sporty, thanks to an available turbocharged engine. The AFE is for standard safety and driver-assistive features, like Honda Sensing, and the LU is for value. Test drive the Honda Civic today.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to centralmidwesthondadealers.com for more details.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Today and every Monday, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is presented by Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Tune in from 4 to 7 right here on KGYM. Randy's Flooring, local flooring experts by design.
And Todd and Alex are going to be talking with Jordan Bohannon, the young man who made that shot yesterday as Iowa beat Northwestern 80-79. Going to talk to Mike Colas coming up here in just a couple moments. Keep the text flying in at 319-366-1600.
1169, rarely agree with you, parentheses, still listen, though, but hit the nail on the head with the quote-unquote reactionary crowd take.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Glad to get in your camp, 1169.
We'll try to do better.
People don't have to agree with us.
No, they don't have
no.
to. They don't have to. They want to be wrong. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Kidding. Just kidding out there. Kidding out there.
John in Dubuque has a long text to put it in a capsule. People leave early all over the country. Who knows what is going on in someone's life on that particular night?
We talked about this, too. Take a look last Monday night at the crowd in Norman, Oklahoma. Take a look at Gallagher-Iba Arena for basketball.
Minuscule.
They're not drawing 3,000 people for those games. I mean, they may inflate the numbers, but there aren't 3,000 people in those venues to watch, you know, two proud programs. And it's not only in Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Basketball attendance in college is going down.
Except in the Big Ten. The Big Ten has led the country in attendance for 41 straight years in basketball.
Pretty amazing. 319-366-1600. Football, we should get to this. We're going to talk more about basketball, so hang on. Mike Kloss is going to join us coming up in just a little bit. Mark, I had this on my sports view today. Did you watch any of the Alliance of American Football?
In fact, I did. I was curious.
I was too.
Curious about the crowd. I was curious about the quality of play. I didn't watch from wire to wire, but the game that was on Saturday night, there was 25, 30,000 people in San Antonio.
Almost 30,000.
That's a city without an NFL franchise, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, there's an Atlanta franchise in the AAF, and, of course, the Falcons reside in the NFL. The ratings outdrew Houston, Oklahoma City, a great NBA game, but I take that with a grain of salt.
I do
because,
as well.
You know, the USL USFL debuted and the World Football League debuted. And
the XFL even beat everybody that night.
Everybody tuned in to see what it was all about. And 3 weeks later, largely fell off the map. But I liked it. I loved no kickoffs. Put it on the 25 and go.
Going for two.
The problem is there's no star power. Yeah.
No, but
there's no Tom Brady or Zeke right. Elliott or Saquon Barkley or
but
anybody
I don't think,
like that.
I think they're going for they're not, and I talked about this in my sports view today. I think they're going for something different than what the American Football League tried to do. Poach players from the National Football League. These guys aren't going to be poaching players from the National Football League draft. I mean, those days are done. I think the same way. The XFL may say they're going to try next year. I don't think that's going to happen. If you use this as sort of a developmental or minor league, trust me, the NFL is going to see if you have any talent out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get into an NFL camp, you know, quicker than you can say anything.
And in fact, there's former NFL players in this league.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Akram Wadley, Joel Lanning, two locals that are playing in the league as well. And by the way, speaking if you can get into a camp, if you can play, didn't think it would be this quick, but I did tell you and our listeners, Kareem Hunt was going to play football again. I thought he would probably have a year off, but Cleveland Browns, if you missed it earlier today, have announced that they are signing Kareem Hunt to play for the Cleveland Browns. They know he is going to be suspended. How many games that's going to be next year, who knows? John Dorsey with the Cleveland Browns, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs, and it makes sense. Dorsey would at times, he's a very caring man, a very caring general manager. He will bring in guys to give them a second chance. Did that with the Kansas City Chiefs. Worked out 98% of the time with the Chiefs, and he's going to try to rehabilitate Kareem Hunt now in his role with the Cleveland Browns. I think it's a good fit, and myself, I hope Kareem is a model citizen from here on in. But like I said, I was very surprised that they decided to sign him today. I mean, that's very soon.
I'm surprised it happened this quickly, and sure, I hope Kareem Hunt makes the best of his second chance. Not everybody has had that second chance. Hashtag Ray Rice.
But he was older.
I think it's just an indication that talent is superseding the deed.
True.
And that's troublesome in a lot of people's minds.
319-366-1600. And congratulations to Phil Mickelson, who came up with a milestone win today. If this was Tiger winning when he was 48, my gosh, we would be all over this. But it's just Phil. Became the third golfer in the last 50 years to win multiple events over the age of 47 on the PGA Tour. So hats off to you, Lefty.
He doesn't seem 48.
He doesn't.
And he doesn't play like it either.
No, he does not. The other two, Mark, we looked it up.
Yes.
This is the bar bet of all bar bets that you would win.
Kenny Perry and Fred Funk both won multiple events after the age of 47.
There you go. All right, use that to win a drink at your local watering hole. We'll take a break, come back. Mike Kloss joins us after this.
With only 3 days left until Valentine's, it seems like everybody's selling bouquets. Drugstores, supermarkets, you name it. Your special someone deserves the best. And that's why every Valentine's, you should order from the Rose Authority, 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, you can get 18 red roses for $29.99 or upgrade to 24 assorted roses plus a vase for $10 more. This is an amazing offer from 1-800-Flowers. 18 red roses for $29.99 or upgrade to 24 assorted roses plus a vase for $10 more. Pick your delivery date and let 1-800-Flowers handle the rest. When it comes to Valentine's, don't settle for anything less than 1-800-Flowers.com. To order 18 red roses for $29.99 or upgrade to 24 assorted roses plus a vase for $10 more, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. Again, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL. Hurry, offer expires today.
You could call Welch's grape juice whole pressed. The whole fruit is pressed, seed, skin, and all. But the word pressed doesn't accurately describe things. Pressing is for elevator buttons and little juice machines. To make Welch's grape juice, you take the grapes, crush, smash, and pulverize them till they turn into antioxidant-filled grape juice. So no, Welch's is not really whole pressed. It's more like whole decimated. The world's toughest antioxidants. Welch's, tough as grapes.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the only $5 meal worthy of your appetite? Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal. Our classic Junior Bacon Cheeseburger is now bigger. With double the fresh, never frozen beef and double the Applewood smoked bacon, there's nothing junior about it except the price. Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal comes with nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Get the $5 Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal at Wendy's. Giant meal, junior price.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
Back in the gym class, 4 of Monday here at 3:40 on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer. Cyclone Coaches show coming your way tonight at 7 o'clock. That will be on 1600 AM. On Mondays, we talk with Mike Halas, Gazette Sports columnist. You can follow him on Twitter, at Halas. Read his terrific stuff at thegazette.com. And, of course, Mike was a guy that knew the answer to, you know, who are the other two guys besides
Fred
Phil?
Funk and Kenny Perry.
Yeah,
right?
And he
yes.
probably had him in his golf mm-hmm. league and probably won money with those guys. So, how you doing, Mike?
All right.
What a performance yesterday. What a comeback.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Yes. You won a Grammy last night, too, didn't you? No. What a comeback and a performance by the Hawkeyes.
He'd have been the only one I would have recognized.
That's true. The Hawkeyes last night. My gosh, it's off the rails already. As Iowa came from behind to beat Northwestern. It's been a while since Iowa had one of those wins.
Yes, hasn't it? I didn't take the time to figure out what it was, but what was it?
Oh, God. Well, the one I think everyone remembers is the win at Illinois. But that's been a long time ago now.
Yeah, there've been some. I don't remember. I can't remember what I had for lunch. But it's funny. I was talking to a friend today, and I said, if Iowa had won that game by 15 points, nobody would be talking about it today. But you play bad for 35 and win the game the way they won it. That's something that it's, you wake up in the morning thinking about. It was just, it was a transcendent moment down there. I mean, seasons are long and sometimes they're mundane, but you remember moments, and that was definitely a moment, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was, and everything had to go right. As you know, Mike, Iowa had shot it like 40% or less and then made its last seven, I believe, and it had to get turnovers. It had to rely on missed free throws by Northwestern. It had to hit shots, and everything aligned.
Yeah, and all that's, of course, exactly right. And maybe the most essential element is you have to keep thinking you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mathematically, it's possible. It didn't feel that way. It didn't look that way. But it was that way, and to the credit of Iowa's players and their coaches, they gave themselves a chance. If Bohannon doesn't make that shot, everybody's frustrated and so close, and if they just played better for most of the game, they'd have won. But he makes the shot. However, it was a whole lot of stuff that you just mentioned that led up to it, including 3 seconds left, and they inbound the ball from the scorer's table. Well, I've watched that several times now, and they did everything right to give themselves a look. After that, it's you make the shot, but you got to do everything right up until that moment.
And they were allowed to draw. Fran was allowed to draw it up because of the replay review. Otherwise, yeah. I don't know what Iowa would have done.
I don't either, and it probably would have been chaos. I mean, that was a free timeout, and that was something that was entering my mind watching it, is Iowa had spent all its timeouts, understandably, and that review was a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And they welcomed it.
I know you asked Fran McCaffrey in the news conference afterwards to how did this all come about, kind of to break down the anatomy of a comeback. And he tried. I thought he did a pretty good job of describing it, but even with a minute to go, you still had something in the back of your mind going, nah, it's going to be close, but they're just going to make it look good. And lo and behold, you hit a couple more threes, a couple missed free throws, a turnover thrown in, and you got a chance to get a buzzer beater.
Yeah, and it wasn't just Bohannon. Wieskamp and Moss had big shots in that run, and you know, all five players on the court did what they were supposed to be doing. And Northwestern kind of, you know, I would say Northwestern attacked in that game, maybe in a deliberate way, but they played a beautiful game.
Yes, they did.
But in the last few minutes, they kind of sat on a lead, and I don't know, maybe that helped too. It certainly didn't hurt Iowa's cause.
I kind of expected Iowa to have its way inside against Northwestern, and Cook had a nice game. But for the second straight game, Luka Garza disappeared. Was it foul trouble? I mean, for a half a dozen games, he was carrying the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had two first-half fouls, and again, didn't give him anything in the first half, and that's the third game in a row that he didn't have anything in the first half to speak of. But he was kind of in a doghouse, too. Early in the second half, it's kind of forgotten now, but McCaffrey pulled four starters.
Yeah.
And pretty much read him the riot act on the bench. And Garza was an object of his red face at one point, I know. But, you know, this has sort of been the nature of the team here the last few weeks. Moss had back-to-back games of zero, and yesterday he had, I think, 16.
Yep.
And was on the floor when it mattered, you know, at the end of the game. Bohannon only had 13 points in the three games put together before, you know, he's gone nuts the last two. And so forth. You know, Garza has six games in a row of 19-plus, and here the last two he hasn't given much. And, you know, he'll probably go out to Rutgers Saturday and score 20. But the common denominator, to me, I would say there are two. I mean, Cook very seldom doesn't give you 15 to 20 points. But Wieskamp, in the three-game winning streak, he's been very good in all three games.
Very much so. And now, what would have happened? You think about this, and it wouldn't have killed the Iowa season, but that would have got a lot of people rumbling in the wrong direction if Iowa would have dropped that game at home to Northwestern yesterday.
Yeah, it would have taken quite a bit of air out of the balloon. I mean, it would have undid what they did at Indiana 3 days earlier. You know, you get a road win, and it's a good road win. I don't care that Indiana's 4-8 or 4-9 in the conference. That was a good win. But you would have come home, and you would have kicked it away. And you're, you know, basically right back where you were. You're in the middle of the pack of the Big Ten, and you're still an NCAA tournament team. But, you know, the good feelings from beating Michigan and Indiana back-to-back are gone, and you don't play again until Saturday, so people kind of stop talking about you. Instead, this thing, you know, carries them all the way to Saturday and has people looking forward to it.
You know, Mike, I covered hundreds of games in my career, and I don't think I ever wrote about fans leaving early from a game, but in this day and age, it apparently is a thing with some people. Our text line lit up. We got phone calls commenting one way or another. What do you make of it?
I say this in 100% honesty, if I'd been a ticket buyer at that game, I would have at least gone to the exits and watched the last couple of minutes from the concourse. I never thought Iowa was going to win that in the second, in the last 10 minutes of the game. I kept waiting and waiting for them to make their run, and finally, with about 8, 9, 10 minutes left, I just said, this is just one of those days. They're not going to win. And I never thought they were going to until Bohannon's shot was, with, you know, 0.6 seconds left, splashed through the net, which is, you know, which is why we're still talking about it, because the whole thing was so unlikely. I mean, it was just the most improbable way to win a game, to be down 11 points with 2:09 left. You know, to get out rebounded the way they did, and Northwestern shot well, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I understand why people took off. It was 7:30 at night. They were frustrated for 2 hours, and they didn't all leave. Some of them lingered upstairs, but I know somebody who left, and his wife is still giving it to him.
That's great. Michael Haas joining us here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Yeah, I totally agree. That is a lousy time to play a basketball game. I mean, that's not an excuse for the way Iowa played. Northwestern had to play at the same time, and they played really good basketball for 35 minutes, but 5:30 on a Sunday is horrible.
It's weird, but it's, you know, it's all part of the TV deal, and we all know that, but I was surprised. The attendance was 11,888. It's a team that had come off wins over Michigan and Indiana. And, you know, the atmosphere was just, it wasn't lifeless, but it was pretty close to it.
It was stale.
Exactly. That's a better word. The crowd they had for Michigan, of course, was amped up from pillar to post. And I understand Northwestern's not a drawing card. I also understand that the weather wasn't ideal. And Sunday at 5:30 is a kooky time. But, you know, you had over 3,000 empty seats at the start of the game, and the place was half empty at the end of it. It was, the game was weird, the crowd was weird, everything about it was weird, and as far as I was concerned, everybody lived happily ever after.
Yeah, as I said earlier, fans can do whatever they damn well please, and it doesn't affect my life, so what the hell?
No, I agree. I mean, to me, if you buy a ticket and you want to sit there and never stand up the whole 40 minutes, fine. As long as, you know, you don't get mad at somebody in front of you who's doing it. Because that's sort of part of the fan experience, is that you get involved if you want to and make some noise and have some fun. But look, you know, you're right. If it's people's money, hey, they can, you know, they can leave at halftime if they want.
Maybe fewer burrito lifts, I don't know.
Oh, now.
I don't know.
I don't understand the kooky sound effects or the blip of music they play right before Iowa's about to shoot free throws. I'm not sure what that quite involves.
Michael Haas joining us here from the Gazette at 3:52. Eerie similarities for 35 minutes between Iowa and Iowa State this weekend in their games. The only difference was, in the stale atmosphere, Iowa found a way to win. TCU was too good a team to let Iowa State come back and win.
Yeah, I watched that game, and TCU, you know, this is the thing in college basketball, is some days you just can't win. Explain it if you can or must, but TCU played a great game, and Iowa State most certainly did not. Mm-hmm. It was the worst defense that they've played all year. But everything TCU did, it seemed like, was crisp, and it was winning basketball for, you know, they started slow, but for about 36 minutes, TCU, after that, they were terrific. And they're a good team. with a proven good coach, and it was just one of those days. Iowa State's freshmen didn't have it. There will be days like that, too. The trick is, you know, make it a one-off. Don't make a habit of it. And so, of course, their next game is against the league leader on the road. Well, maybe that's not such a bad thing. Maybe, you know, it focuses you and you can get back to where you were.
Yeah, and they've got a week to think about it. Iowa's got a week to think about it as well before they each get back into play. And like you said, K-State suddenly with a two-game lead in the Big 12 over the rest of the league for Coach Weber.
Yeah, and it's not a surprise team. I mean, they made it to the Elite Eight of the NCAAs last year, and a lot of those guys back. They're just a good team. So, you know, Iowa State will determine Saturday if it's going to stay in the race or not.
Yeah, that's huge if they want a chance to win the regular season championship anyway, the Big 12. Before we let you go, did you watch any of the Alliance of American Football?
No, although, you know, as you guys know, and we've talked about so many times, I've been a Salt Lake City Stallions fan my whole life. And I saw the score, and it was like, oh, okay, I won't watch the tape of it. I'll just, you know, I don't need to see that. It's too painful.
Oh, yet to win in their existence.
Hey, Mike, I assume you're going to skip Piscataway. Are you going to take in Iowa Maryland women?
I don't know what's going to happen this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see that kid from Central City play.
Yeah.
Nick Reed.
Yeah.
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 Oh, man.
76.
I asked Wieskamp about Nick Reed if he saw that, and he had, which I thought was funny. That was the morning after. And I asked Wieskamp, you ever score 76? And he just looked at me like I was crazy. Are you kidding? No.
Yeah, that was quite a performance.
And that wasn't a blowout. That was an overtime game.
No, it was an overtime game. And he got his 76 in, but yeah, good for Mr. Reed up there. Hey, Mike, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for the info, and we'll keep reading the stuff at thegazette.com.
Okay.
Michael Oss joining us on Mondays here on the Gym Class. Take a break, come back to wrap things up right after this here on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
It's Valentine's time, and that means the package of love from Siebke Hoyt Jewelers. With any Valentine's purchase of $249 or more, you'll get a dozen roses. And to sweeten the pot even more, we'll give you progressive discounts the more you buy. Now, how's that for romantic? And it all starts with Gabriel & Company New York, the finest and the hottest new styles. Then there's our gorgeous Shy Creation Jewelry, handmade in New York City by top designer Shy Diane, and Anya Hay Jewelry, stylishly trendy and incredibly affordable. And at Siebke Hoyt, we'll always make your purchase easy with great financing options. It's the package of love at Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, with flowers, the hottest jewelry designs, and progressive discounts. It's going on now through Valentine's Day. We're Siebke Hoyt Jewelers, the place where Cedar Rapids gets engaged and has the Valentine's package of love.
Get big savings during Menards' President's Day Sale. Valvoline Premium Conventional Motor Oil protects against all types of deposits at all temperatures to keep engines clean. It's specifically formulated to optimize the life of the engine. Right now, Valvoline Premium Conventional Motor Oil is just $3.29 a quart. Find this and other great deals through February 18th. Now, during Menards' President's Day Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
As a business person, you know that security is always a concern, but now it can be easily integrated into your computer network. Network Computer Solutions now offers turnkey security systems designed and built for business. From cameras and entry systems to secure video storage, NCS makes it easy for you to keep an eye on your business. NCS knows business networks, and they know how to utilize networks to keep your business safe. Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa. Snow has started to fall in the metro area. Please be careful out there as we are getting some texts and comments starting to deteriorate the driving conditions on I-380. So give yourself a little extra time. Give yourself plenty of room between you and your neighbor. And everybody will make it home okay, Mark.
Poll question again at KGYMradio.com. Do fans deserve criticism for leaving games early? Right now, three-fourths of you are voting yes, they negatively affect morale and atmosphere, as opposed to no, they paid their money, they can do what they want.
More on that, more on the Hawkeye win and Jordan Bohannon coming up next on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming your way right here on KGYM. We preview the state wrestling tournament coming up tomorrow with Wyatt Schultz. Looking forward to that. Best of luck to all the wrestlers. Hope everybody gets there for the duels on Wednesday as well, because the snow is kind of messing that up. All right, talk to you tomorrow at 3:00.